Listen,
how's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooly Show. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan. And with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hey, Hooly, great to be back here, Lizzie McNeil's. It's a gorgeous night.
I think it might be our last night on the patio for
Well, you know, we're going overseas, Hooly, and I noticed you got a haircut for the trip. It looks good.
Thank you for noticing.
That looks good, man.
I got them all cut.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to the Skinny and Hooly Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal. Our old pal, Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois, WCEV. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. And if you ever miss a show, folks, you can always catch the podcast, usually up a couple days after Sunday, at SkinnyHooly.com. Skinny, you know what? Kind of a funny story today. I was, you know, we were getting ready for our trip. We're going to Ireland tomorrow, and I had to get some of those adapters.
Are we going tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got to get a passport.
Yeah. I got adapters. You got to get your own adapter for the, you know, when you plug in your.
I got one today.
Good.
Best Buy.
All right. So I went to Walmart. And now, if you're familiar with Walmart, the people who work there don't want to work there.
You know, Walmart people.
They run from you, you know. So I'm looking around, and I see this guy, you know, salesman, Walmart guy. He's got the shirt on. I go, hey, can you help me, sir? He just looks at me. I said, I'm looking for those things.
He didn't recognize you?
No. I'm looking for those things. You know, the adapters that you use if you're going to Europe or Ireland and you have to have a different adapter for the plug. Do you know where I would find those? He looks at me and goes, automotive. I said, automotive? Automotive. In other words, get lost. I went, okay. And he goes, wait, are you talking about the radiator things? No. The automotive. Okay. Bakery. Over by the milk.
So did you get a battery for your car or anything when you were in automotive?
No, I did not. I didn't even go to automotive because I know he was just steering me away, you know.
Did you ever find one at Walmart?
Yes, I did.
See? Yeah.
I looked.
That's the moral of the story.
Oh, yeah, you got to look. But no one's going to help you there. Nobody's out of there to help you at Walmart. My poor son sells liquor to Walmart. He goes, oh, it's a nightmare. He has to go in the back room and find the guy. Hey, and the guy hides from him.
Do you know that Costco is the second biggest seller of wine in the United States?
Well, I do buy a lot of stuff at Costco.
Costco is, yeah. They do quite a job there.
I buy water and toilet paper at Costco.
That's a lot in your case.
It sure is. You can get 33 rolls in one bundle.
For 39 cents.
Cheap. Like $23 for 33 rolls. This is a good deal. Well, Costco is great.
It is.
Same thing with paper towel. You know, if you're going to go there, you don't want to get a 20-gallon tin of peanut butter or something. Go to Costco. That's the spot.
That is the spot. But, I had to get an adapter today, too. I don't know what happened to my adapter from last year.
I know what happened.
I brought it home with me, and I couldn't find it.
I just remembered a funny story from last year. My cousin, the nun, was on the trip with us, and her name was also Houlihan. And by the time we landed, I was exhausted, you know.
She was a very nice lady.
She was. But her name's Sister Mary Houlihan. And her bags, I'm sleeping. The guy bangs on the door, and I go, what is it?
I was there.
He goes, sir, your bags. I went, just throw them over there. I go back. The phone rings. It's you. And I went, what do you want? I'm trying to get some sleep. And you went, hey, your cousin lost her bags. They don't know where they are. I said, I don't care.
What do you call me for? I'm going back to sleep.
Yes.
Hangs the phone up.
And then the guy knocks on my door again, and I go to the door. I go, what do you want?
About a half hour later.
Yeah, he goes, we're looking for. And then I went, and I looked at the bags and went, those aren't my bags.
I told her that I went up to the room, and Hooly was
wearing
the nun's habit.
Her habit.
He was jumping around from bed to bed. She said, that is the most disgusting sight I could ever imagine.
That's the kind of
fun.
We had fun, though.
Yeah. She was a good sport.
She was.
She won the Limerick contest, too.
Oh, she hates you to this day because of that. All right, so we got a great guest tonight, a returning guest. Field Chief from the Chicago Fire Department, Mr. Patrick Fitzmaurice. You got to get right up on the mic, Pat. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, Pat.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Our pleasure. How many years you been with the fire department?
43.
Yeah. What, did you start when you were like 7?
21.
Really? Good for you. That's great. There's been major changes. When you first went on, there was fires like every 5 minutes.
Fires were dominated the scene, and then Mayor Daley decided he wanted paramedics on. It was like the national rage, the TV shows. And little by little, as the fires died from a lot of reasons, new construction, sprinkler systems, actually even insurance companies going after arsonists with a vengeance, the fire slowly, you know, went away, and EMS is steadily taking over. You know, like probably 93% to 94% of the workload is actually EMS now.
Yeah, that's amazing, because they were like an afterthought. Do you know that when I was a kid, the engine company 120 is in our neighborhood, and they got an ambulance. I remember it was a Cadillac ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
And what they did in those days, they just pulled up and they just grabbed you and threw you in the back of the ambulance. There was no equipment back there. There was nothing. Take you to the hospital. And now those things are like rolling hospitals.
Right. We're you know, very, very technically skilled. There's a lot of capabilities in the back of that ambulance, things that we could do. And the run volume is astronomical, and we got just some really great paramedics.
You have like 9 or 10 ambulances?
Nine ambulances, probably five of them are the busiest in the city.
Oh,
and
wow.
I have four right now paramedics who were all combat medics in Afghanistan or Iraq.
Oh, no
kidding.
Some
of them multiple tours. So, I mean, their skill set is just as good as could be. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they've been there, done that over and over again, and it's they're very, very good. The problem is the department leadership is back in the Cadillac era. They're still driving around Cadillacs, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't progressed as we should. We should be a world leader in EMS, and we're not, you know.
Yeah.
Commissioner's a throwback.
Yeah.
Deathly afraid of progress, and he's just a seat warmer, I hope.
Yeah,
Pat is no stranger to controversy. You may have noticed.
I'm not pulling any punches. You know, like I said a long time ago, my old boss Ray Roscoe used to say, actually, is we're not delivering pizzas out there. What we do is, you know, when people call for us, they need us, and they need us to be at our best, and they need our service to be good. And they're not interested in excuses. They're not interested in, well, you know, we're busy, and that's why they don't want to hear it. And rightfully so. You know, they want us to be there, and they want us to perform. So,
well, it's amazing the progress when you think about what they have now. The equipment that you have is just phenomenal.
All right.
And you, like you were saying, these guys are so well trained. And at one time, you know, I don't think that was the case. And I know the progress isn't fast enough, but it is amazing how many people you guys save every day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Our save ratio's gone up. We've increased our what we call our return of spontaneous circulation on cardiac arrest. We've done that. We've revamped the way we approach a cardiac arrest now, and so now we're getting it to the same level as other you know top cities in the country. We're actually now we could say we're not on a par with them, not because of us, because they're more advanced. Like in Seattle, you have to have a CPR card to get a driver's license. Every corner has an AED. So these are things that contribute to
a defibrillator.
Yeah, automatic defibrillator. Okay. So those things contribute to successful, resuscitations of a cardiac arrest victim. One of these days we're going to get there. We made a lot of progress under Mayor Daley. We did make a lot of progress. We made a lot of progress under Ray Roscoe.
Ray, I worked a lot with Ray. Ray was, when I was with the city, he was a great guy. And one year I ran the marathon. And I ran the marathon a whole bunch of times. But one year I overdid it. It got a number of years, but it got really, really hot. And I ended up in the medical tent at the end of the race. And they put ice on me. I was all delirious and stuff. And
how could they tell you were delirious?
Because I kept calling for Hooli.
Oh, okay.
They put blankets over me, and they had like three doctors and everything. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, Skinny, is that you? It was Ray Roscoe. He came in the tent to see how things were going.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, my God, get this guy. I said, Ray, everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm going to be fine. But you really get out of sorts. But Ray was such a good guy, such a straight shooter, and a guy that would stand up for his guys.
The untold story of that marathon is it was really going bad. We were having people dropping left and right. Nobody was prepared for that heat. There wasn't enough water. The spectators were taking the water, and we were just overwhelmed. The private ambulances were overwhelmed, and Ray came in there, and he called off the marathon, and they said, well, you can't do that. And he's like, marathon's called off. And I'll never forget, at the top of his lungs, hey, I'm Ray Roscoe. I'm taking over. You guys are all working for me now. Relax. We're going to get through this. And we had a lot of people like you, very, very sick people who one minute you're getting crampy and you're feeling bad, and then the next minute, you're in heat stroke and you're near death, you know. And that one stretch, a north-south stretch at around noon was just brutal. It was like the Bataan Death March. The sun was there. There was no shade. And they couldn't even make it to Jackson Boulevard and people were falling.
Yeah.
And had Ray not made that call to end the marathon, and he risked the wrath of, some big movers and shakers in the city, had he not made that call, I think we probably would have had a lot of people that would not have made it
right
to the marathon, because heat stroke will kill you as fast as a bullet almost.
Yeah. Now you're working the west side now.
Yes.
What's that like?
It's pretty bad still. It's pretty bad. The violence is there. The mayor's selling the story like a politician that it's getting better. That's not getting better. I had 6 shootings last day.
You work days or nights, or you did?
We work 24-hour platoon. So I started at about 6:30 and I get off at 6:30 the following morning.
Wow.
So we had like about 5 shootings, 2 fatalities. I mean, the other day we had a teacher shot. She just walked into a bullet. And
she was coming out of a store.
Yeah, coming out of a store.
And they drove by and they shot her in the head.
Yeah, they're not.
Did you see that story?
Yeah, I saw it. It was horrible. She was a real nice lady,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Up in Rogers Park, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Rogers Park. And, I've said this a long time. We're very lucky because I'll get on the scene of a shooting, and there'll be 10, 12, 13, 15, 20 casings on the ground. And we got one person hit. And it's just a matter of time before some civilian who's totally innocent walks into one of these bullets. And it's what it happened. And it's just luck that we haven't had more. And
Friday's going to be 75. Shots, right?
Yeah, they're not worried about, muzzle focus and watch your background. They're just, they spray and pray. And whoever gets hit, and I think a lot of these gangbangers are sociopaths, they want to shoot skinny. If they hit you and me in the process, thug life. That's the way they look at it. They don't care. There's no remorse. And the police they're undermanned. They need more cops. They need them out there on the street. And they're overworked. The mayor entered into that consent decree, and so now you do a street stop, and it's an hour of paperwork. And it's just crazy. And I as a paramedic, I love the police. There's probably, I can think of right offhand, 7, 10, 12 times where without the police, I'm not going home, or I'm going to the hospital first. They're great. I got the 11th district, 15th district, 25, 14, and they're 10, and they're just amazing. They're always there for us. And the call volume just increased. The biggest problem now is we get these psych emergencies. Over and over again, we get them. And
a psych emergency?
It could be anything. A guy off his psych meds, a guy bipolar, it's just somebody acting out, And they're all potentially dangerous because we just had one the other day that he bit the paramedic in his hand and bit him in his shoulder out of nowhere. It just went from sitting there on the stretcher to, attacking a paramedic.
Yeah.
So it's crazy out there.
Yeah.
You were also instrumental in getting the ordinance for the paramedics to wear the vest outside their shirts.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I made a decision to wear a vest. I had been toying with it.
A bulletproof vest.
Yeah, yeah. I've been toying with it back and forth. And a friend of mine, a good Irishman, Lon Cogley, he was a combat Marine, and I went to him. He's a paramedic, and he's like, well, Pat, what I'll tell you is, if you buy it, you either wear it all the time or don't waste your time. So I made the decision to buy it and wear it. And then out of the clear blue sky, they told me they didn't want me to wear it. They wanted me to wear it underneath my shirt, which is ludicrous. Yeah. Things are hot, they're cumbersome. And I went to John Cass, and he wrote a bunch of scathing articles, and the fire department took it. I mean, it was bad for a while. They were on the ropes getting pounded. I'm like, man, if this was a fight, the referee would have stopped it. It would have stopped it because they took a pounding. And so
the brass of the season.
Yeah, right. Just they made a stupid decision. You know, I'm sorry. Like I told the one chief, you know what? At 3 o'clock in the morning when you're in bed, I'm roaming the west side, streets of the west side. I'm out there by myself. I don't have, I hear the shots. I see the muzzle flashes. I've had people within 3 feet of me get shot.
Yeah.
The 3 feet of me, I'm sitting at a bus stop, right, doing my paperwork, and they call for a gunshot at Harrison and Cicero. And I get on the radio, I said, well, I don't see anybody shot here. I'm right at Harrison and Cicero. And I said, well, we're getting a call. We're getting it again. It's a cell phone caller. Look around. Next thing you know, he's banging on my door. And he was sneezing. I go, where were you when you got shot? He goes, well, I was standing right behind you.
Wow.
Right behind my vehicle.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter. We're just lucky we haven't had a fireman or a paramedic shot out there. It was a picture I remember about a summer ago of all the firemen hiding behind engine 116 because they were fighting. There was a shooting, and then there was a secondary shooting at that shooting. So it's just crazy.
It's crazy, all right. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the northwest side. I went to St. Peter Canisius, lived at Grand Avenue in Cicero my whole life. I can't get away from Grand Avenue. I lived around Grand and Cicero, got married, moved in with my wife in her mother-in-law's building on Grand and Central. Then we bought a house at Grand and Harlem. So I'm just like, keep moving west down Grand Avenue.
Where do you live now? Montclair?
Yeah, Montclair, right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I understand you just have been recognized with the Irish Echo.
I was thrilled. I can't thank you enough. I mean, it was really nice of you to do. And when I got the email, I'm like, who's screwing with me? Who's doing this? Then I saw your name. I figured this was a joke, man. You know, I was going to get all set up for something, and the Irish Echo was going to be a left hook to my head. And I talked to them, and they were very nice. And
they asked you, what are your Irish
roots? Yeah, they
asked
me for my Irish. I had to fill out a questionnaire. You know, they wanted to know about my childhood and my most memorable experience in the Chicago Fire Department and my Irish roots. And I'm doing it on the computer, and I'm like, Mayor, what am I going to tell them about my Irish roots? Am I going to tell them about my grandmother? Well, you know, my father was Irish, and my grandmother was born in Blackpool, England. And so my earliest memories of St. Patrick's Day and Irish being Irish is my dad coming home at 5:30, screaming, Phyllis, what are you wearing orange for? You know it's St. Patrick's Day. And then
he
called my mom, Claudette, your mom's in orange again. And they would go back and forth. Unbelievable.
Oh, that is great. That is great.
That's why I'm so. I guess I'm. You know, like I'm so. I'm sort of like screwed up. As a friend told me, he goes, well, you're half Irish, half English. You know, you're conflicted, man. You're just really conflicted.
I'll say, yeah.
Absolutely.
In fact, he tells me.
Do you ever fight with yourself?
Yeah, exactly. I look in the mirror, punch myself in the head. The British side hits me. Then the Irish side hits back twice.
So you're off tonight, but what's a usual night like when you're on duty? What's that like?
I'm going to work Friday. It's going to be 75. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a buckle-up kind of day.
Oh.
It just starts out, he's busy, busy. We have a lot of sick people in our district, you know, a lot of sick, a lot of elderly people. So that is most of the day. And then the kids get out of school, and then the gangbangers get up. Our biggest issue is heroin. Oh, we're just overwhelmed. Yeah. 10, 12, 15 heroin overdoses a day sometimes. It's
and
just
you
nonstop.
Get the call on those.
Right, we get the call. We go on the heroin overdoses with the police, and we give them the Narcan, and we bring them out of their heroin. But sometimes even the Narcan isn't working now because the drugs are cut with so many other drugs that are just potent analgesics. You know, I mean, stuff that put a horse down. You know?
Yeah.
It's a scourge, I'll tell you that much. And these gangbangers are the ones that are selling it. You know, that's the beauty of it. They're on the corner selling the heroin.
Bad heroin.
Well, it's all bad. I mean, I think that's where the problem started was this mindset of I'm not shooting it, I smoke it. So it's okay. It's not, oh, you're still a junkie. If you shoot it, if you snort it, if you smoke it, you're a junkie. If you use heroin, you're a junkie. There's no good way to use heroin. So you know. And then the night comes and it's look out. It's Katie bar the door. You know, sometimes it just goes crazy. The police radio, I'll listen, monitor the zones, and it'll just start steady increasing calls for shots fired, battery victims. You know, a lot of domestics, and then.
What about those guys? Those guys that you got, were they even want to go back to Afghanistan where it's a little quieter?
You know what? It's funny because when you talk to these guys like my buddy Lon Cogley, you know, when I'm talking to him about the West Side, and he was in Fallujah, so this is nothing. You know what I mean? He talks about, you know, I mean, he was telling me about the difference between being shot at and being shot around. You know, the bullets that are shot at you sound like bees, bzz, bzz, buzzing by, and the other ones sound like pops, you know. And he goes, it's a very short learning curve. You have to learn really quick the bees from the pops. But
wow.
This is nothing. You know, I mean, this is nothing compared to that. But, you know, from on the plus side, if there is a plus side to a war, the technology that they have learned in how to treat the wounded has come to us, and so we're starting to use that now. I wish we picked up more of that technology, more of that medical stuff, but we haven't.
Guys medics in Afghanistan?
Yeah, they were medics, right.
Wow.
Lon was a machine gunner with the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
But he's a medic now, paramedic now. So, you know, we use tourniquets now. The police use quick clot. We don't use quick clot. I don't know why.
What's quick clot?
It's a clotting mechanism. It usually comes in
stop the bleeding.
Yeah, it'll stop the bleeding. We don't use it. Don't know why. You'd have to ask Commissioner Santiago. They say, initially what they said to Ed Burke was, well, our time to the hospital is so short. You know, so like if you got shot here on this corner, you'd be at Northwestern in 6 minutes. Well, but they're, you know, that's tricky math, because my math is he gets shot at 6 o'clock. The ambulance gets there at 6:10. He doesn't get to the hospital until 6:30. That's 30 minutes he's bleeding where we could have done something.
Yeah.
So the use of quick clot. There's another thing out there called transiatic ischemic acid that they found. They infuse it with the IV. And it literally slows the clots of the blood. And, you know, if you can't get pressure on the wound or a tourniquet on the wound, like a belly wound or a deep chest wound, this will stop the bleeding. We do use the tourniquets. We do, instead of starting an IV, if we use a drill now, looks like a little wallboard drill, and you can drill right into the bone and get an IV.
Wow.
But they also have a thing called X-Stat. It looks like a big syringe, and when you have a wound that where you cannot apply pressure to it, you can't get to the bleeding, you stick this syringe in there, and it's spring-loaded, and it shoots cotton into it, and boom, and it expands.
Wow.
And little by little, it starts to expand up and take up the volume space inside the wound. So now when you apply pressure, you're able to slow the bleeding down.
Wow.
We haven't gone in that direction. But as you look across the nation, everyone else is. And that's, you know, and to me, that's troublesome. You know, any day could happen. Las Vegas, San Bernardino, anything like that. The potential is always, always there. Heck, you had, it was in China, and something like the guy with a knife killed like 25 people.
Wow.
So, you know.
He must have had a bad day.
Well, most of these are kids, too, that you...
Kids, 18 to 20, 35, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to the age group. There's no, I can't say here's your typical gangbanger shooter. You know,
right.
There's no way. They need jobs, they need an out, they need a future. I don't know what the answer is. I really, it's past me. I don't even think about it now. I just want to make sure my crews and nobody on CFD gets hurt. Nobody on CPD gets hurt, and you know we can help. You know, you can tell the innocence. We had a girl shot the other day, just walking down the street, and she takes one in the back. You know, and it's horrible. It's horrible.
Did she die?
No, she's gonna make it.
We're
very lucky. She's very lucky, and especially she got transected. She got shot right to left, and usually that's not good.
You know,
there's just a lot of organs in there that are gonna get taken out by it. So.
Wow, sounds pretty depressing.
There's good too, you know. I mean,
you're saving a lot of people.
Yeah, you're saving lives.
We're saving a lot of people. We deal a lot with a lot of elderly people that we help out. You know, we help a lot of people out. We do a lot of good things. They do
a lot
really
of
good
things. It's really a shame some of those elderly people and some of those people that live in those neighborhoods that they have to
They can't afford to leave.
They're like prisoners. I had one, you know, and again, I'll be the downer on the show. He had a 13-year-old kid the other night that, you know, he's having anxiety problems. Why? Because they came up on his porch and stabbed him, and he can't walk the streets. He's got to, like, go to school and live at home. Go to school, live at home. Yeah, maybe 14, 15 years old, you know, and the gangs run his neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, so, but there's always good. You know, I mean, in our business, if you just dwell on the bad, you know.
You'll lose your mind.
When you know, like in the Irish Echo, when they ask, you know, for memorable, I'm not giving them that, you know. I'm going to give them the time, you know, we had a car accident out at O'Hare, and it was a really horrible accident. A guy in a car went down a road he thought was Mannheim Road, and it wasn't, and it was what they called Old Mannheim Road, and there were no stop signs, and it was 3 a.m, and he's flying, and he hit one of those Jersey barriers, just crushed it. He busted up his face really bad, and there was a girl that was ejected through the window. And the firemen, you know, they all had daughters, and then they're just like giving me this blank stare, and they're like, Pat. I'm like, what? And they go, so I'm with the driver, and they go, look over here. And there she was on the side of the road. She'd been ejected, and that's usually not good. And her head was off at a really bad angle. And so I call my partner, we get a second ambulance in there, we start working on her. And I, you know, I mean, like I told the Irish Echo, it's got to be God, because I don't know how we were able to straighten her neck out and put a collar on her and not kill her, but we were. But she was completely unresponsive. I mean, I stuck a needle in her, had to be the size of that pen, and she never flinched. And all the firemen were just staring at her, and, you know, just they just had this blank look on their face. And we took her to the hospital, and it turned out she had like C4, C5, C6, and 7 fractures, just massive neck damage.
Oh.
And I figured, that's it, she's toast. There's no way she's walking away from this. And about a year and a half later, we get a phone call, and someone says, I'm her mother, this woman's mother. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know who she was. Well, she was in a bad car accident on Old Mannheim Road, and she'd like to meet you.
Oh,
I'm like, yeah. Really? I'm like, how's she doing? Oh, she's doing wonderful. Well, it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful in a wheelchair, wonderful as a quadriplegic. Oh, no, she's doing really good. She came out to the airport, and when she walked in, I was in tears. I couldn't believe it, because there's no way. I would have bet everything I own she was not going to survive, and if she did, she was going to be paralyzed.
Yeah.
And she said the only deficit she had was she had numbness in the tips of her fingers, and that she used to work in a restaurant. She had to stop working in a restaurant because she could burn herself and not know,
yeah.
Or cut herself and not know. But she said she was in the hospital for a long time. She was airlifted from where we took her to a spinal center, but she ended up completely walking as normal as could be. And you know,
thanks to the EMS, the Chicago Fire Department,
and the luck of God, you know. He was smiling on her shoulder that day, you know.
We got to wrap it up here, Pat. This is great stuff.
Is great.
Now you know why, folks, that he has.
Are you going to write a book, Pat?
The Irish Echo.
You know, I can't type a lick. You know, when I type, all you hear me is swearing in the background. My fingers are like Ogden Avenue and Wacker Drive. They're going every different direction. So I thought of a ghostwriter, and I thought someone told me to get one of those speech, you know, where you talk into it. And,
oh yeah.
You know, but I thought about it. You know. I don't know.
Well, we're going to get you to New York. We'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show after these messages from our friends.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's ConcernUSA.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. At Smith Village, we offer a full continuum of care. Retirement is that unique and special phase of life when you shift from worrying about your to-do list to exploring all the things on your love to-do list. It's also a time to expand your interests, learn something new, make new discoveries. The maintenance-free lifestyle at Smith Village gives you the freedom to do all this and more. And while you're exploring your passions, you'll appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our three-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836. That's 773-614-6836. Or visit the website at smithvillage.org.
Forget where I was going with this. Give me a hand with this door. Push it. Now, I know you think we did this. But we didn't do it because we looked at him, but we didn't do it.
Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth attend first event together in a year.
Who cares?
Charlie Thurston and Leonardo DiCaprio, Heather Graham, and more speak out against Harvey Weinstein amidst sexual harassment scandal.
Who cares?
Ben Affleck apologizes for groping Hillary Burton in 2003.
Who cares?
President Obama is disgusted by Harvey Weinstein's sexual harassment claims.
Who cares?
Lindsay Lohan defends Harvey Weinstein amid sexual assault allegations. He's never harmed me.
No,
who cares?
Actor Terry Crews claims he was sexually assaulted by male Hollywood executive.
Who cares?
Harvey Weinstein and wife Georgina Chapman split amid sexual harassment scandal.
Who cares?
Finally,
Miss Piggy says Harvey Weinstein sexually assaulted her. I felt very powerless and scared.
Who cares?
Get Harvey back in there.
Skinny, get on my shoulders and push Harvey.
That's not me, it's Harvey.
Don't let Harvey Weinstein out. Thanks. Thanks, pal. You know what? Skin, whenever I'm walking down.
There wasn't enough Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, no. You know what? I love it. Kick him while he's down as many times as you can because he is a piece of garbage. I'm loving watching Hollywood take it, you know? Every time I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hearts or in those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, Hooli, who died?"
Hey, Hooli, when you were growing up in St. Kitts, and the LaBelles were, all went to Mount Carmel.
They went to Carmel.
Seven boys went there. There was 12 LaBelles. Great, great family. But their brother, one of them, Marianne married a guy by the name of Ed Graney, who went to Leo High School, a Marine, and he passed away. Great, great guy. He had two children, Suzanne and Ed. But the LaBelles, I remember when they got married. It was at the wedding and everything. The wake was on the south side at Thompson on 5700 West 95th and to St. Linus Church. It was earlier this week. So say a prayer for Ed Graney, a veteran and a great, great guy.
Christ, God rest his soul. Skinny, Joan T. Flynn of LaGrange, beloved wife of Tom Flynn, who's retired Chicago Police Department, and the loving mother of Tom, also Chicago Police Department, Flynn, Dan, Peggy, Maureen, and Tim Flynn. And she also preceded in death by her loving parents, Margaret and Michael Kirby. Remember Michael Kirby's?
Yeah, the skating rink.
I wonder if that's any relation on 79th Street.
Right.
Anyway, God rest her soul, Joan T. Flynn.
She was buried out of St. Francis Xavier in LaGrange, too.
Very good. You got that one, too. PJ sent that in, of course.
Say a prayer for her.
Got any more?
That's it.
Oh, Mary T. Gannon, a native of Carna, Connemara, County Galway, Ireland. Loving mother of Kathy, Noreen, Barbara, and Patrick. She's obviously from Ireland, but it's great in her obit. It says, "In lieu of flowers, Mary would like you to take someone out for lunch."
Ah, oh, that's great.
I love it. And so anybody who was at the funeral, if you're looking for somebody to take me to lunch, get in touch.
Yes.
Okay. Let's close up the crypt.
Mary Gannon, say a prayer for her.
Thanks, Mary, for that lunch. And we're going to take a little break on the old Skinny and Hooli show. We're having a blast here tonight out on the patio. It's a beautiful night. Skinny, I want to mention, you know, my pal Marty Malarkey over at McCormick Place now has his own app.
I know.
I got it on my phone.
Marty's at whatever.
Marty's at McCormick Place. Right. McCormick Square. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yes.
Marty at McCormick Square. You can just go and download it, and you can get all the information on what's going on.
Lori Healy over there came up with that idea.
It's a great
CEO.
Idea.
CEO. She loves Marty. It's got to drive all
Who
those
wouldn't?
Bosses.
Oh, I'll bet it
the
does.
The boss, all the other bosses, yeah. They used to do whatever they could to Marty. I always defended
sure.
him. He's just a great, great guy. He's from
He's
the Northwest
side. He's the
greatest
salesman you've ever had,
greatest
Marty
salesman.
Yeah.
He's
the concierge.
He's the concierge at McCormick Place. Yeah. He knows everything about every bus line, train line, what time every show starts.
He knows where every restaurant and saloon
is. Every restaurant. He tells everybody, what do you want, an Italian? You want Greek? You go here. Tell Marty sent you. They all love him, but he works really, really hard and a really good guy. He's up from the northwest side, way up, I don't know where he's at, but he's in the city. Great guy.
He's all the Italian guys. He's the only Irish guy at the old
He thinks
Italian.
He's Italian, though.
I know he does. He's got the grease back
Italian.
Here and everything.
Yeah.
But I got the app. It's called Marty at McCormick Square. And if you go to it, you can see everything that's going on at what's going
did
on.
Did he tell you about it? I'm shocked. That
did he tell me about it? Are you kidding me? Yeah. So I told him I would plug it tonight on the show. So, Marty, there you go. There's your plug. All right, we'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooli show after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. and as in their grandfather's day, they are service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted, Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Walking all the day by tall towers where falcons build their nests, silver winged they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. I saw black hat against the sky with twisted rocks and run to the sea, living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more, stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Talking all the day, but true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and news, sing songs to pass the time away. We watch the Galway salmon run like silver darting, dancing in the sun, living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more, stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs where fiddlers lie. love to play. Someone touched the bow, and he played a reel which seemed so grand and gay. We stood on Dingle Beach and cast in wild foam. We found that Atlantic bass living on your western shore. Saw summer sunsets, asked for more. Stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw land where no one had to fight. But waking in your dawn, I saw you crying in the morning light. While lying where the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your air blue sky. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. Stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland.
Song so for Ireland.
So we're back, Hooley.
We're back on the Skinny and Hooley
Show. State of Ireland. Where are we going tomorrow?
Tomorrow we are going to Dublin. And then when we land in Dublin Friday morning, we're going to get on our private train car and head over to Galway. That's like a two-hour trip, I think, on the train. And we're
You know what's great about that? You are going to be able to get some sleep on that train. Sit down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we are.
You don't think they serve beers on the train?
we'll wake you up and pour the beer down.
Frankie Moran and Skip Carey are going to meet us at the train.
Dick Moran is meeting us, too, isn't he?
Dick Moran's not coming until. I guess he's meeting us at the train. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to be there for breakfast. We're having breakfast at 6:30 in the morning, someplace.
Oh, we'll have some rashers.
Yeah, the Irish breakfast.
But we're very lucky, Hooley, that we have 42 people going with us. You know, and it's great that
I'm
these people come out every year, and we have so much fun. Mike Miller's back for round number 5.
He'll be at third base at the bar. His spot,
yeah.
Third base.
And his sister Kathy's coming. And
his daughter.
Dave and Rita Durkin. It's going to be really good. We're going to have there's so
Denny
many
Kearns. We're taking the flag to Westport, the Chicago flag. We're having a ceremony.
And Froggy McGuire has his all-star lineup.
Oh, all the Duffies are going to be there. You know what I did the other day? We're going to be in Westport, and we're going to bring the flag to the mayor
of Westport.
We're doing a press conference. So I called the Mayo News. And I'm like, and who could I pitch this to? And the guy's managing editor's name was Michael Duffy. So I said, oh, Michael Duffy, please, when I called. He goes, no, Michael Duffy. And I said, oh, Mr. Duffy, hi.
You probably don't remember me because I never met you.
I'm from the Skinny and Hooley Show, and I sent you a press release, and I have a picture of Weeping Jim Kearns in there. And he goes, well, I've got so many emails. And he goes, oh, wait, I do see it. I said, we're going to have like a dozen Duffys with us. I'll be there, so they're going to cover it. The Mayo News will be covering it. I think I got another cameraman covering it. Denny's very excited.
Oh, good for him. That's great. That's his grandfather, right?
His grandfather, Weeping Jim Kearns.
His grandfather was an alderman, and he was from
1915. Yeah.
Westport.
He's from Westport County, Mayo.
And he came up with the idea of the Chicago flag.
Yeah. He introduced the legislation in the city council. So we should have a flag in the City Council said, you're absolutely right, we should.
So we're bringing that flag of
and
Chicago.
And we're bringing that flag back
to Westport and doing a 100 press
years
conference.
Later. Yeah, 100 years later.
Press conference with all the bigwigs.
And we're bringing that proclamation that Ed Burke had
Ed Burke did a proclamation. So it's going to be fun. And, you know, it's probably going to be the highlight of the trip, Holy.
I don't know about that, but we're going to get it on film, and it should be fun.
Right. I'm sure you'll turn it into some sort of a scam.
Oh, I wouldn't call it a work of art, maybe. Yes.
A work of art.
Yes. We'll turn it into a work of art. But I'm actually looking forward to this trip more than any of the ones before, because we're going to be on a boat, unless we get hit with that Hurricane Brian that's coming. Because we got to go to the Aran Islands, so we're going to take the ferry.
It's Harvey. They named it after Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, they should. They had Ophelia last week. Ophelia hit him pretty hard, and three people were killed. But I think Brian is a little not as effective, thank God.
They said yesterday on the news from Ireland, I get it on the internet, there are 245 homes without electricity.
No, it was more like
I'm telling you, they said there was 245 homes without electricity. I'm like...
Come on.
I swear to God. Hey, listen, I want to make sure we say hello to our friend Phil Jordan, who's still in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Phil. How's it going,
Phil?
Pal?
How's your mom?
We sure are going to Ireland with us.
Yeah. So Phil listens every week.
And Terry Cox.
Terry's going through a terrible
hello,
time
Terry.
Right now.
Hello, Terry. I look at his Facebook page every day.
Yeah.
He's always posting something.
And Marty McGarry. Poor Marty McGarry.
Oh, Marty,
so
God
say
bless
a prayer
him.
For those people
our
that
pals.
Are sick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Terry Cox, I didn't know this. It's either his daughter or his daughter-in-law, Jane Forrest Zia. Do you know her?
Yes, I do.
She worked with my wife, Mary, on the Stroger campaign. Oh, boy, maybe 20 years ago. When Tuna was running Stroger's campaign.
Yeah.
And they got him elected. But my wife, Mary, was working in the Chicago Avenue office for John Stroger. And so was Jane.
Oh.
And they got to know each other. I'm sure they haven't seen each other since then, but... she seems like a good kid, Jane.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Blessings to our old pal, Terry Cox.
Yeah, I think we're ready for another break, Hooli.
Okay, we'll take another break.
Take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Skinny and Hooli Show.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you've got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 115 South LaSalle Street. IOS has an entire floor in this very prestigious building, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference rooms, day office usage, administrative support services, with customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com. That's integratedofficesuites.com. Or call them at 312-648-6200 and tell them Skinny and Hooli sent you. Don't forget that number, 312-648-6200.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the South Side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Oh, our old pal, Brendan O'Brien. He went to Ireland with us. Twice, I think.
Twice, yeah. Yeah. He was half the man he was when he left.
Oh, he was. He had some laughs. We had some laughs at his expense as well. He had many at our expense, too.
Yes. He tortured us. Oh, that last one was the best one. He told, we drank on you. We put it on your room tab.
Oh, you I do remember
oh,
that.
Oh, he never forgot. Believe me. It was $100. You think we had robbed a bank?
I hadn't put any charges on my room, and the bus is waiting. I'll admit, I had to go to the toilet before I left. And the bus was waiting for me, and everybody's on the bus, and I run out, and I go, here's my key. I don't know anything, do I? And they go, yes, Mr. Houlihan.
You owe 107
you
euro.
You owe 107 euro. I said, what? Yes, at the bar last night. And I went, I know who did this. Thank you.
And he accused me first.
Oh, I know it was you first. Yeah, you know what? Anytime.
Sorry.
I can't eat on the air. I'm sorry. Pat Fitzmorris just brought us
some popcorn.
We got to wait till after the show is
over. The air.
I also remember one night when we were at in Keys Hotel outside of Donegal. I can't remember the name of the town, and we had taken over the whole hotel, and we our driver Philip Duffy comes up and says, "I need to speak to you." I said, "What?"
Somebody.
He goes, someone stole the pillow out of the Europa Hotel in Belfast.
It was a fine woven pillow.
It was worth a lot of money.
Guard is outside.
And he goes, and I said, that would be Skinny. And I take Philip Duffy over to you, and I say, we had a little problem because someone stole it. And Skinny, first thing he does is he points at me and goes, he did it!
He did it. He stole it.
It was like out of a movie. He was Peter Lorre all of a sudden. Going, him, it was him.
No, I said, Neville Chamberlain. Yeah, I told on you.
It was Neville Chamberlain of the 19th Ward. So, and then Philip Duffy goes, there are two Garda outside in a squad car, and you have to go talk to them. We're like, whoa.
What?
Yes. So
Holy was real now, happy.
Oh, I'm like, this is perfect. So we're walking out there, and he goes, it costs $350. And Skinny's going, why would it cost $350? He goes, it's hand-woven, by the nuns in Connemara or whatever. And Skinny goes, my sister gets headaches. She needed the pillow.
I blamed it on Mary.
He blames it on his sister.
But Freddie Puxton gave me some good advice.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. First, we get outside. And we go, well, where's the guard? He goes, come on, you two Amadons. And took us into the bar next door. And so then we announced it to everybody on the trip to see if they'd go for it. They all believed it. And Freddie Poxter comes up to you and says,
Skinny, I have to talk to you. I have experience with
all of
this.
A sudden, he's Irish.
Yeah, he goes, he said, Skinny, deny. I have a background in this.
Take it from me. I have a criminal background. Deny.
Okay. We want to thank everybody. We want to thank all our sponsors.
Next week is a best of show. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes. All right.
We will see you later. Bye.
Tune in next. The Skinny and Hooley Show is recorded in front of a live audience.